Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and hello to everyone. This is my show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. This is a show where what I basically would like to do is cover every conceivable topic there is. There's no topic that I really don't want to cover, or any topic that I consider to be off limits. I want to be able to talk about just about anything that's civil or perhaps anything that interests the people in general. Today, I'm supposed to have on a psychic who will talk about her growth in the spiritual world and her views on the psychic phenomena in general. Now, when she comes on, which should be very soon, I will introduce her and, we'll learn a lot about what it must be like for someone who is sensitive to the world, sensitive to various views of the world in general. If she is sitting in front of the computer, it's okay to call in now. I think that, my view on it all is it's an interesting subject. I've taken classes in parapsychology, and one was in advanced yoga. But what was hard for me, and I believe that is her. Let me see here. You there?
Yeah, I'm there. How are you?
Oh, hey, how are you?
I'm fine, honey. How's everything going?
I'm doing good. You're Gabby Gale, huh?
Yeah, okay. Gabby is usually easier, and I got the name for a good reason. It fits.
Well, want to tell us the reason, or?
Really, many years ago, if you remember, there was a psychic line that was on TV. They did an infomercial, and it was called Psychic Friends. And I started doing, and I did Psychic Friends. I was one of the first psychics to work over the phone. And they didn't allow you to use your real name, right?
I see.
Because they preferred not to. People could find out who you are by what you said and people who would call you many times. And they would get an idea, your area, your name. And they would get people would find out who you are. So they preferred you not to have your own name. So I took my name, Gail Gaber, put it together, came out with Gabrielle. And it got shortened to Gabby. And being talkative, it fit. So Gabby stuck, and it's been my nickname for years.
Being what? Can you repeat that?
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay.
What I meant was that being, did you say being cognitive?
No, just being talkative.
Oh, being talkative. Okay.
Extremely talkative. So Gabby fits all too well. And
that makes sense.
Will vouch for it.
What exactly made you realize that you were psychic? How long have you been like this?
There's not been anything to compare it to. I've always been this way since I was a small child. I would see things. I would tell people things. It just was something that was there. I mean, I didn't become psychic because other people were psychic or it was the thing to do. I just was always this way.
But, I mean, like, do you see things differently, like, when you relate to people than I think somebody else would see it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll always pick up everything. I mean, that goes beyond. I mean, I'm not God by any means. I'm sensitive. When I meet someone for the first time, I will get impressions. But you also want to block things because it's also privacy. And I don't believe I have a right to dig into anyone's life unless they say to me, can you tell me something? So I don't offer anything without a person asking me. It's not my business. I try to think of a person's privacy and respect that.
Sort of like you have to be able to open yourself to be read,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I understand. Well, it's kind of like giving a hug to someone who doesn't want one. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It wouldn't work.
Well, the thing is, I believe very strongly in my abilities. I don't think I'm the only person in this world that can be psychic. I think everyone has the ability. Sometimes we're not always attuned to it, and we need to delve into classes or seek people to help us understand what we can see. But there are people who are naturals that have been this way since birth. And I've always been this way. I don't know any other way to be. I just prefer not to be verbal, because I learned as a child that, you know, when you're a kid, you say things to people. And as you get older, you realize some things you just don't say, some things you keep to yourself.
Are you, what's been your most, your single most profound psychic experience?
I've had a few. There's so many, but again, and I think we talked about this, the one thing that stood out tremendously is I was in college at the time, and you know how you make friends, and one of my friends brought a friend over, and a guy, and he said, hey, hi, and I looked at him, and I saw another guy standing next to him in a vision, and I saw this young man jump in front of a train. And I looked at him, and I said, oh, my God, who's the guy that jumped in front of a train? Because as I see a person, I can see a vision right alongside them or see it above them or around them, but I'll see just like it's in front of me. And the young man looked at me and goes, that was my brother. My brother fell. Actually, he threw himself in the subway, and he threw himself in front of the trains and died. And that was the first, really, one of the top things that hit me. When I was younger, I saw a friend die in a car accident, and it was not in my control to stop it. I mean, I saw it, but I couldn't do anything to stop it, no matter what. It happens beyond my control.
Did you feel anything before 9/11, or was it a shock to you?
To be honest with you, I was jittery. A lot, you get things sometimes and not understand what it is. The day before, I had a client who worked in the one of the World Trade Center. She called me, and she called me on the 10th. And she says, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. And I told her, don't go in. Stay home. She says, why? I said, I don't know. I have a feeling. Stay home. That was the only thing. And then the next day she called me and said, you saved my life. Because she worked up on one of the top floors. And she said, you saved my life. Because I was going to go to work, and you told me not to go. And it wasn't because I felt anything specific. I just said, don't go in.
Well, you know, it's fun. It's funny. That day, do you think they'll find the family of Bin Laden? Or would you rather, do you not want to make a prediction on that? Or?
If they really wanted to find him, they could find him. And they know who to get in contact with to find him. They prefer to have him loose, and that's what the answer I get. They prefer. Now, who they is, I can't tell you. I only know what's given to me, and what I feel is that it's just the way it is. They're letting him be where he is.
So they don't see him as important.
Oh, it's not a thing of importance. It's probably very, very important. It's the fact that they prefer him to be loose than caught. And then if they should need something done maybe in the future, then he's available.
Well, why wouldn't catching him be a good thing?
Oh, I think it would be excellent. Wouldn't you? Someone crazy like that off in the world? But then again, there are always people who need assassins. There's always certain individuals who need certain jobs done. And since he has the reputation, keep him alive, and he's that hard to find and that hard to kill, it's funny how they've always gotten other people, but they just can't find him. So,
I've heard that it's because he's in a place, he's surrounded, and he's in an area where a lot of people like him, whereas in Iraq, everyone hated Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've heard, that in Iraq, everyone wants Saddam Hussein gone. But
I will say this.
Well, go on with what you're saying.
No, it's good. Go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted.
But you know, what I was going to say is it seems to me that they have come so close, yet they haven't found him, and it does make me wonder. you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, for them to have gotten so close and yet miss him, you know, that's a little bit strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
also, another thing I've heard is that I've heard that he doesn't have any kidneys. He's on dialysis.
Oh, that's something I really don't know. I'm not aware of that at all.
Yeah, I've heard that. But that doesn't make any sense. I mean, him hiding in a cave with a dialysis machine, it doesn't add up. Okay, we have a call. Would you like to take it?
Sure.
Okay.
Be happy to.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is DT. How are you, Johnny?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. Okay, I just hopped on. I'm sorry, I haven't heard the first few minutes of the show, but I understand you have a psychic on tonight.
Yes, we do. We have a psychic. This is Gabby. Meet DT. DT, meet Gabby.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Annie, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Same here. Well, that's exciting. I was a guest on his show, and I had a really great time. I hope you do, too.
Oh, it's very pleasurable so far. So good. And I can't imagine it not being. It's been informative, for one thing. I'm learning about some things I didn't know about that Johnny knows, and it's fun. And if I can help people tonight or somebody has a question and needs it answered, I'll do the best I can.
All right. That sounds great.
Do you have any
great.
Questions, DT?
I do. I want to find out what the status of my I have a business endeavor that I'm embarking on, and I'd like to find out what the status of that is.
Okay. Take it slowly. I know you want to get things going. I know you have things planned to some degree, but don't rush things, and think out very carefully who you approach. There have been people that you've had in business since before or you've worked before, and I'm just saying be very cautious. The feeling is just that you have to be careful. You've got a good idea, you've got some great plans, but just execute them very slowly. Don't rush into it.
Okay.
Okay.
Will there be a point in time where I will know that it's going in the right direction, that my venture is going to be successful?
I think you already know, honey. I think you've had this feeling from the very beginning. Johnny and I were talking before about people being psychic, and everybody has abilities. It's just sometimes, you know, they don't come a certain way or unaware of it. I think you have a real fine-tuned sense of being where you don't really venture into something unless you have an inkling that you feel good about it. All right? And you're that kind of person.
It got garbled at the end. I'm going to do what? What was your last sentence?
I said you're the kind of person who, you know, you think very carefully, which is good, but you're also, you got a sensitivity about you. You know when you like something, and you know you can do well at it because of that fact you like it. And I just don't think you're getting, we all make our mistakes, granted, but you're very conscious, and I'm just telling you, stay with that caution. Take it slowly, because you will know. You know already what you need to do, but you're going to turn into the year, and you're going to feel the progressions of things getting really strong in the springtime. So we're talking end of February, March, April, in that time period, and you're going to see that you are starting to go better, getting better, and there's more to add on and things to do, and you're going to see yourself, you know, really progressing, and that's going to be good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So there, in the meanwhile, while I'm trying to get this project, you know, to gain some legs, you know, I hate being in a starving artist category. So will there be things that come along my path that will help fuel the fire, so to speak, so I can put a little change in my pocket while I'm trying to make the bigger project go?
I think it all comes within you. Things don't always come that readily. Like, I'll have clients that always tell me, when am I going to meet a man? When is it going to happen? And I'll say to them, if you don't walk out of your house, they're not going to fall through your ceiling. So it's you going out and you venturing and you making things happen. So not only with this business, but doing other things as well to be able to supplement what you need. It's you really pushing yourself. You're the best product to have. And it's you getting yourself out there to let people know what you're doing and how you can sell the different things that you need to sell.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the old saying is, if you don't do it yourself, someone else is going to do it for you. And I get a distinct feeling that you're not a person who's on her tush. You go out there, you go out and do what you need to do. You're not lazy. There's not a lazy bone. When is your birthday, CT?
June 29.
Yeah. I mean, and for you, it would be great to be able to do a business that you stem from within, all right? Like something home-based is always good, or something that you can have within yourself that you're your own boss. You feel very comfortable with that. And with that, that'll create a lot of artistry. You're a very, very creative woman, and you still have many more ideas you want to add to what you have. So you start something, and it's going to branch out, and you'll see it within three-month increments. Now, there might be a little bit of, I don't want to say difficulties, but some challenges in the next 5 weeks. There'll be about 3-4 weeks of just some things that you need to pull together. Don't be in despair. Give yourself that time to do what you need to do. In other words, when you find it slow, just plan, and then you're going to find yourself sailing after that. So the end of November, you'll start seeing some of your progress starting to happen, and that's going to be good. It's going to show you some things. But it really, the springtime is going to be very good for you.
That's good.
That's good.
I had a little side issue that's related to the bigger project. Someone attacked my website, and I wonder if you see anything as to whether I can get the website restored intact, or if I have to totally start from scratch again.
I think you might have to start from scratch. It's got to be wiped clean. I mean, it's like being tainted. So no matter if you get it together again, it's still not going to feel right. So you might want to start from scratch only because you can make it better. Plus, the energy would be better if you start from scratch.
I think it'll be better as well. I mean, you know, you have a lot of people around you that definitely want to help you, DT.
Thank you, especially you. And I so appreciate your being behind me and in my cord and just cheering me on. With you and a lot of my other, faithful customers, it really makes me feel great. With regard to the website, it's just I'm like devastated because it's a loss of an extreme amount of time and potential amount of money, and it's just like, I don't know, I'm just beside myself. I just wish that it could get restored back to the way it was, and it's such an easy thing to restore it back to the way that it was, and I'm just not getting too much cooperation from the hosting site. So
It would just
absolutely kill me if I lost it, but if that's what it is, that's what it is.
Well, you're not going to lose it. You're just going to make it better. I mean, it's kind of
no. I will lose
all my
customers because I don't, you know, I don't have their email addresses or whatever to all the customers. So, you know, all the thousands of people that were frequenting my site every single day, I've like essentially lost them, and I kind of need that customer base in order to your project.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real bad. I'm in a real bad spot with it.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry that someone could be that unkind to create so many issues for you with your site. But you know the thing is, I have a daughter who always says this, and she's right. Through something difficult and hard comes something better. And I think you're just going to turn again. You're a very positive person, but you work on emotions and allow those emotions to get you through this. And I don't see problems. I feel like this will be better for you. As though you feel you lose people, I think you'll end up gaining. I really do. It may not come like in the first month, but boy, you're going to regain everything that you feel you've lost because somehow people will find you.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
I hope so too, dear.
All right. Thank you, Gabby. I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. You have a wonderful night.
Okay. Have fun on the show. Bye now.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Johnny.
Bye-bye. You there?
I'm here.
Yeah. I tell you, she's a really good friend of mine. She's really sweet. She's been on my show. And, I think the reason why I think she'll survive is because she makes people around her feel needed So it's like, because of that, I think people will go out of their way to help her out.
Well, she seems like a very nice person. She has wonderful energy. She gets upset very easily because she feels things. Like, you know, if someone's that sensitive and caring, they take everything in. And, you know, and it hurts her. It's very hurtful when someone can be that, do something to your site. And, you know, it's her baby. It's like someone attacking her child. So, you know, it's understandable. It's very understandable.
I know how hard it is. I mean, you know, especially when you, like, write a book or something. And somebody else writes the same book, you know. Or someone writes a story. I know, like, some of my friends who, like, have written stories.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, they're very protective of them.
Yeah.
I mean, let me ask you this. Did you feel anything before Katrina?
I wasn't really affected by Katrina. I was affected by Wilma. And
feeling anything.
Yeah, again, I felt very uncomfortable, not for us, but for the surrounding. And, you know, the thing is, I have family that lives in New Orleans, so believe me, they lost homes, and it was very, very upsetting. And, you know, I've been through a hurricane. I know the devastation, and it's tough. It's hard. Did I feel it? Yes. Could I do anything about it? No. Unfortunately, these are things that, how do you tell somebody, hey, people, you need to leave your home because I feel something happening? A lot of people look at you like you crazy fool, and that's it. So, you know, you try to get in touch with people, and you try to tell them, but what can you do? I mean, I can always say that there's going to be difficulty, and again, the extent of it, I really didn't know. I didn't know it was going to be that bad. I knew it was going to be rough, but not that bad.
Do you see, well, like, for instance, you know, when Kennedy was shot, on the day that Kennedy was shot, for instance,
yeah,
were you feeling something on that day, or?
In fact, I was in school. When Kennedy was shot, let me see, that was 1960, and at that time, I think I was either 10 or 11 years old. And before I knew what had happened, I was crying. And my mother was, what's the matter? I said, something horrible is going to happen. It's going to hurt the world. And that's all I could say. I didn't know what was going to happen. Not always do you understand what's going to happen. But, you know, as a small child, all I know is I was sensitive. And I said, something's going to happen. It's going to be horrible. And then the president was shot and killed. And it's like, you're a small child. You don't understand. You just don't understand. You know, psychic abilities, it's also very rough on someone who's young, because I would come home and be crying. And my mother goes, what's the matter? I said, people made fun of me. When I was younger, kids would throw stones at me. They called me a witch. I wasn't a witch. I just was sensitive. I just saw things. And I learned to keep it to myself. I learned to be quiet because, again, state something out of the norm, people think there's something wrong with you. So what do? You stay silent.
Are there celebrities that you've read for?
Mm-hmm.
Like who?
Yeah, I'm here. I've read for a lot of different celebrities, but I think every person I read is very important to me, whether they have fame status or not. I read them the same. You know, I've read a couple of actresses, a couple of models, a couple of political figures. I'm not going to say names.
Ever read for Jerry Garcia?
Jerry Garcia? No.
No, I was just wondering because there was a there's a book out called The Top 100 Psychics in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if you were in that or not.
Oh, I don't believe I'm on there because I'm not one that publicizes who I am. And I think anyone who's in that book is people who are known psychics. That's what they need to have written, 100 top known psychics. There's a lot of psychics out there that could probably top every single one in that book that I know. I've worked with a lot of unbelievable people who have...
Actually, yeah, that was probably the most famous. Yeah, the book was probably the most famous because Mickey Dane was in the book. So.
Mm-hmm. And so Mickey, for one thing, was a radio personality. She was someone people know or have not. I've not really been a known psychic. I've worked on psychic lines. I've done television and radio, but nothing really big. And I keep it quiet because I prefer it that way. Someone finds me, they need help, I'll do what I can. But I don't prefer to be someone's notoriety because I just am not comfortable with it.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever had someone come to read for you and you thought that they were going to be president of the United States?
I have predicted fame for certain individuals that happened. They were famous. They were not famous before I met them, and they became someone. I won't name drop because I don't find that, you know, it's their privacy.
Oh, I understand. I understand.
Pardon me?
I understand. I mean, I'm just saying that have you, because like I've heard that like Chuck Norris, you know, was told that he was going to do films, and that was before he even thought he was going to be an actor. You know?
No, I've had certain people ask me if their projects were going to be successful, and you know, would they make X amount of dollars? And yes, that has happened. Where I've talked to producers, you know, that were clients, also you know, certain individuals who are looking to get into their career or change their career. There's been some people I've talked with who, to be honest with you, I've talked to people who are at a famous end, and all they want is just someone to talk to. They seriously, because of the fact of their fame, their fortune, it's so hard to find someone who's going to accept them as a person and just talk with them. So when I get, especially if I'm doing a psychic line, I work a psychic line at times, or if I get a client that calls in and says, look, I've got someone who wants to talk with you, but please don't tell anyone who they are and what they wanted to know, that's something you keep private. As I said, privacy is important.
Like, have you ever read for people very, very rich?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Extremely. I once was, I used to do parties. And I was on Star Island. Now, Star Island is where Gloria Estefan lives in Miami. And I had done a party years ago. And there was a lot of celebrities at the party. And I was contracted with a friend of mine who worked the party as a psychic so people could sit down and talk. A lot of people hire psychics as entertainment, quote unquote, because people find it interesting. Yet there are people who understand psychic abilities and take it very seriously, knowing that possibly something could be better for them or something could help them. So I went to quite a few parties and went to a lot of homes that I could take my house and put into the living room. That's how big the homes were.
Like any billionaires?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very well. Miami, Oka, there was quite a few people that I have read that were quite up there. And did I charge them the same? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't charge them. I did not charge them more because they were wealthy. That's not my way. My line is, and this is how I feel, Johnny, everybody sits on the toilet with their pants, underpants around their ankles. And if you can put that in your head, famous people do that too. We're all human. We're all same. You know, in that sense, we're all people. We have hearts that can be broken. We have money that can be stolen. We have lives that can be hurt. There's a lot of differences that everyone feels. And I just don't do one. There are many times when people don't have a lot of money. And for me, it's like, okay, what you can afford, if it's a little bit of money, or because someone once told me, a very, very strong psychic many, many years ago, and I can't remember her full name, and she lives in Miami, and I can't give her name. Her first name was Iris. Someone else will call up, and they'll know the last name if they know her. And she once said to me, "You have to charge so people appreciate what you're telling them, because if they pay for it, then they know they're going to appreciate it. If you give anything away free, nobody takes anything for free." and appreciates it because it's given too freely. But take a little bit because you need a balance of the energy. And I learned that. I don't have to scam people. I don't have to take a lot of money. But I take enough where a person can appreciate what's been given to them or told to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, do you feel that, one thing is, have you ever read for someone and then just felt horrible vibes? Like, for instance, someone walks in to give you a reading, and you think, I'm doing a reading for, I might as well be doing a reading for Charles Manson.
I'll never forget. I was working something called a psychic fair on weekends. I was married at the time, and I used to work on weekends. I would work Saturdays and Sundays all day long. And my husband would stay home with the children, and I would go and work from 10 o'clock in the morning to like 5 in the evening. And then I would come home, and there would be a gentleman who would, he would hire a room, like a banquet room in a hotel. He would put signs out and advertise for psychic fair, and people would come to get read. And we all would wait at our tables and, you know, sit and wait for someone to come, and then they would. I had this one woman come. She had a huge floppy hat on her head. And she sat down at my table, and when she lifted her head, I stopped breathing. I just stopped, stared at her. I said, please excuse me. I got up and went over to the owner of the psychic fair and said, I cannot read this woman. And he goes, why? I said, I can't. The energy is far too negative. I cannot read her. Please, I don't wish to send her. I cannot read her. And I don't want to waste her money or her time. So he came over to her. I went into the bathroom. He said to her, our reader is ill. If you don't mind, I'll put you with someone else right now. So not to offend her, I stayed in the bathroom for a good 10, 15 minutes until she was gone, and then I came back.
Well, when you say negative energy, do you mean this woman was a criminal?
No. It's just there's some people who are out and out nasty human beings. There's just a negative energy that spite people. They hate people. They're hurtful. And this woman was such, her energy was so horrible, I couldn't read her. I just could not find myself talking to her, let alone sitting next to her. So I excused myself politely as best as I could, and I told her, I said, I can't read her. You've got to give her to somebody else. Just tell her, you know, tell her anything. And I left, and he said, go to the bathroom. I'll tell her you're sick. And that's what happened. He told her I wasn't feeling well. And she
says,
well, I want my
bathroom and vomit, or?
No, I just walked away because her energy was that bad. Could not read her. Plus, she looked like a skeleton. I mean, the way her nastiness came through, she looked evil to me. And I couldn't even look at her, let alone read her. I was just, I had to walk away.
Have you ever given, well, let me ask you this. Obviously, the opposite has happened. Has the opposite happened?
In what sense? You mean find someone, read someone, and they were really happy and positive?
Yes.
If I see something and they're negative, it's negative. They don't redeem themselves because the energy is that impure. When I've got someone sit next to me, I can see the aura, and their auras are...
But what I'm saying is, have you ever seen somebody that's so positive that you're overwhelmed by it?
No, I've never been overwhelmed by the positive. It's enlightening. It makes you feel good. You do an excellent reading because of how positive that person is. I had a wonderful lady the other night, so positive. And we were talking on the phone, and she was telling me her 14-year-old daughter is in a coma, yet positive in her belief in God, and all she needed was some kind of direction. But positive, I mean, it was a pleasure to read her. I was honored. I was really honored to read her because that woman was such a nice human being, such a good person. And if anything I could say to make her feel better, I certainly was going to find something to make it good for her. Because she is going through an absolute hell. How can you, a mother, to watch a child in limbo? It's pitiful. It's sad. But yet she was so, but an unbelievable person, so sad. You know, many years ago, Johnny, I started, as I told you, I used to work on Psychic Friends Network. And my very first reading was a Friday night, and this lady had called me. And this woman was in tears, crying, heaving, crying. And I told her, I said, just kind of relax. Okay, tell me what happened. She says, I just got home from work. My children, thank God, are over at a friend's house. She had five kids. The husband had left her and took everything out of the house, wiped the house clean, wiped their bank accounts out, and left her with nothing on a Friday afternoon. So when she got home after work, there was nothing. He had left, he had wiped out the house except for, you know, the kids' beds and her bed. He basically took everything out of the house and wiped out their bank accounts. I will never forget that reading because that poor dear woman had nothing. And I told her on Monday morning to call HRS and to get in touch with the government. They will certainly help her. I told her to get in touch with her family right now and just, you know, tell them what happened. You cannot handle this by yourself. I will never, that's one reading. Your very first reading over the phone, you just don't forget. Mm-hmm. And when it's something like that, you don't forget it.
It's, I imagine, you know, have you ever given a reading and cried?
Yes, many times. I'm such a wuss. I am a wuss. I've had a
like
lady
what
who.
What made you cry?
What people tell me, I had a lady whose child died, 4 years old, and she wanted to know if I could channel the energy to see if her child was okay. I was in tears. 4-year-old child died of cancer. I was blubbering fool because it's a child. Anything anyone calls me about a child with difficulties or is ill or passes away, I am, because children to me are the world. I have two of my own, but I think every child in this world we all take responsibility for. Because if a child's hurt, we all have a responsibility to make that child happy. I just feel that way. To me, children are the world. I love kids. I'm sorry I only had two. I would have loved to have a dozen. But, you know, that's just the way it is. I didn't. But anything about children, I love to hear the good things. And when I hear the terrible things, I want to make it better for that person that's on the other phone or in front of me, anybody, and tell them, hey, it's going to be all right. We'll find a way to make it better. We'll find something that's going to make your life better.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the, like, were you in a, I mean, have you ever done a reading for a kid?
Pardon me?
Have you ever done a reading for a child?
Only when the parent is there. I don't read children. I feel it's illegal. A child, I mean, they have to be 18 years or older. I just don't feel that. I think a person can be very harmful if they don't know how to speak with an individual. I mean, I have a background. I have a master's degree in psychology. Still doesn't make me brilliant. Doesn't make me to know the right things to say. You kind of hope you do.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever read for a child? And then, you know, after you talk to the child, you think, okay, this kid's got psychic ability. A lot more than I've ever, you know, just, you know, so it's like powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen that?
Yeah. Yes, I have quite a few times. Children with amazing abilities. And sometimes if I'm not even reading a child, I do a lot of work with children. My profession is being a counselor, but I volunteer and I do a lot of things with children. Anything with children, I'm out there, I'll go do. Whether they be physically ill or mentally ill or just need or abuse, I mean, I'm there. I want to be with children. If I can make their lives better, that just makes my life better. And I'm with children all the time. I was working for about a year or so at a children's amusement park. First one ever in the United States. It's like a little city, and each person or each place has, like, where children can play out their fantasies. They go to this place. It's called Wanadu City, and it's open in Sunrise, Florida. It's a great place for anyone to take their kids. It's an interactive small town. There's a fire engine. There's a fire department. There's a TV studio, a movie studio. They have a circus. Children can be in a cookery and learn to cook. They can be in the theater. They can be a police officer. They get to, and it's all miniature stuff for kids. And I was with kids on a constant basis for over a year or so, like about 14 months. And I saw children every day. I'm telling you, left and right. And believe me, yeah, I met a lot of kids, and I saw a lot of special. I had one woman, I said, your little boy is special. He's going to make a difference in the world. And I just, you know, again, these are just children. I wasn't doing a reading. I just saw this very special boy, and he's going to be very special one day.
It's the funny thing about kids is that kids are very, they're learning, but
yeah.
You kind of forgive them for not knowing everything because they're kids.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my nephew, he knows sign language.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked up to me and he says, I know your name. It's J-O-H-N-N-I-E. I mean, sorry, he was saying my name in sign language. He goes, it's J-O-H-N-N-I-E. Well, and then he says, and I also know my mommy's name, M-O-L-M-Y.
Oh, that's
and, of
cute.
Course, you know, of course, he's not going to say, you know, my sister's name. I won't mention any names on the radio involving my family, but
mm-hmm.
the fact that the kid was doing that, you see right through it. I mean, it's just cute,
mm-hmm.
you know, that he could do that. And he was able to sort of, and they're at that age where they're very intelligent. They're very, I think it's almost like they can be on another level sometimes, you know?
Yeah. I think they are. I've done a lot of work with autistic children and a lot of research with autistic. And I feel in my heart with autistic children, they have one foot in this world and the other foot in another world. And that's why there's such a difficulty in trying to get them to relate on this plane. Just my belief, because I just tend to feel that their energy sometimes are with us and sometimes they're not. Whether it be neurological or whatever, I just feel there's something playing beyond our knowledge. You know, I have an autistic cousin, and he's 16 years old, and very psychic, and he'll make comments about things, and I'll look at him, and I'll see somebody, and I'll have a thought about them, and he'll turn around, and he'll say something to me that's very similar to what I was thinking. And I'll look at him and go, he's very aware of the people around him. Yet, he still cannot function in this surrounding world for some reason or another. So, it's just my kind of look at things. It's just my opinion on what autism is.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
it's sort of a, well, it's, why in your opinion do you think it's so prevalently diagnosed right now, though?
You know, it's just, to me, when I just feel whether they be one thing or another, children are just amazingly attuned to things, you know, just very out there. That's what I feel. Very, very out there. And I just think sometimes we need to look at them for the answers because they're the ones that are going to set us straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they do have a way of kind of being, of getting to you without, their view on things is very interesting. I mean,
mm-hmm.
when you can look at a kid's view on things,
yeah.
they, I mean, I bet your daughters, like when they were, kids when they were young were like that.
Well, they both were. They still are. I mean, my younger one, because I have two daughters. My younger one's going to be 21.
Some of your psychic ability?
No, they developed on their own. I mean, they've been exposed to it all their lives. I mean, this is something that I am. And, you know, when I was starting out with them, I did use certain techniques to put them to sleep. I did relax them. I did special things, that meditations that were good for them. That's what I did. So, they have different things and different things that they practice. When they get upset, they know when to meditate, calm themselves down. Just something, that's something that they were used to. When they went to bed at night, we would do meditations, and they used to look forward to it. I would sit, instead of read a book to them, I would count from 7 to 1 backwards, relaxing them, and then telling them auto-suggestions to feel well and to sleep well and to have positive dreams and just very, very positive things when they went to sleep, to relax. And that's what they were used to.
Mm-hmm.
They were used to that. And then they had friends that would come over, and the friends would say, is your mother going to do a meditation with us tonight? I mean, the kids would love it. They would all get into the bed, whoever was spending the night, and I would, do different techniques for them to relax. And after they would relax, then I would, give them a scenario, and they would giggle and laugh, and they would think it was funny, and then they all relax and go to sleep. It was wonderful, putting children to sleep.
Let me ask you something. This is sort of off, not really on a tangent, but I guess it sort of relates to kids. When you were younger, did you experience anything in relation to past life regression?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a wild story about this, and you're going to go, wow, because this is everything I'll talk about is true, I'm telling you. Now, I was younger. I lived in Boston, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And in Boston, Massachusetts, the Boston Commons has a little water area, and they have boats, little tiny boats that people go in the boats, and they're on the pond area, all right? And they have swan heads. And my mother said to me, I'm going back and forth. When I went through my divorce, I had looked at my mom, and I was reading a book on Atlantis, and I was telling her about, wow, they had these big, huge boats with swan heads. And she looked at me and she says, I remember when you were 3 years old and we were in the commons and you went up to one of those boats and you said to me, Mommy, I remember those boats when they were a lot bigger. And she says, I never quite knew what you meant, but all of a sudden, from what you just said to me, it now makes sense. And we're talking 30 plus years later, I'm turning to my mother and saying, what do you mean? She goes, you said to me, you looked at those boats and said, I remember when they were a lot bigger. And then I was reading, as I said, I'm 40 years old, and I'm reading about Atlantis with the boats they had with swan heads, huge swans. And she said to me, she says, Mom, she said, I'm telling you. I said, Mom, is that true? She says, you asked about them. You told me. I remember them when they were bigger. And now it makes sense what you said. Because in a past life, from what I've been through, because I've done past life regression, I have a certification as a hypnotherapist, and I begged the teacher to let me do past life regression, and she did that and brought me back where I was in Atlantis and described Atlantis and described techniques and things that went on there. And when she brought me back from the hypnotherapy session, a lot of it made sense as to the swan boats, as to certain things that I know now that went back to a past life. So, yeah, I believe in past life. I have done regressions with people.
Have you ever regressed your daughter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
and
both of them. They both have.
Did you know your daughter in a past life?
Oh, yeah. My daughter, my younger one, when she was 3 years old, she looked at a friend of mine and said to her, I remember you when we used to be together. You, Mom, and me. And my girlfriend just looked at me. She said, that just gave me the chills. Well, when my girlfriend's mother was dying, on my girlfriend's mother's deathbed, she said, I'm giving you back your daughter. And it's just, and if you look at this girl, like, she's 16 years younger than I am, so I am old enough to be her mom. And she just says to me, she says, we look alike. We walk alike. We think alike. She's just very similar in so many ways, and didn't look anything like her mother. She looked more like me than her mother. And she said to me, she says, I've always felt close to you, but when your Shauna said to me, I remember, I know when we were together. We were together before. And she was only 3 at the time. So, you know, yeah, a lot of things happen. A lot of things happen. I mean, Shauna, when she was younger, would talk in her sleep in a different language. And she was speaking ancient Egyptian from what we can tell. And because I took it and I spoke to a psychologist, a psychiatrist actually, who did past life regression, told him about her, I had it on tape and had him listen to it, and he said, that's ancient Egyptian. She's speaking ancient Egyptian. I said, she doesn't know an Egyptian. She's only a little girl. He goes, well, she's speaking Egyptian. Very odd. Very, very odd. As I said, there's always something that you can look at and go, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that, do you feel any psychic connections with animals?
You know something that's weird? I mean, I love animals. I've got 5 cats. I'm very, very, I love animals. And I lost 2 cats that had to be put down. And to this day, I still feel that my one male cat is still in the house, because there are times I will look and see an image and my other 2 white cats are nowhere in the room, and I know I saw a white cat. I know it. So he might very well still be here. Okay.
You don't care. I'm just coughing. Well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, people like they put such emphasis on pets. I mean, I was watching, I went to see John Edward in person.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how he gave one reading to this woman who was like completely stoic. She did nothing throughout the entire meeting. Sat there, you know, completely stone-faced until he mentioned her pet poodle that had died. She broke down crying.
Mm.
I mean, people are extremely attached to animals. They just feel this connection.
Mm-hmm,
and I think it's
mm-hmm.
because animals, they love you unconditionally.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I've got a cat right next to me right now. Actually, 2 of them. And I sleep with me every night. I have one, my little boy and a little girl, and they're attached to me. And when they want something, they know to go. I mean, not because I feed them, or they just need comfort, that they feel it, you know, and they're loved, and they know they're loved, because I'm very gentle with my animals. I know some people like to be rough, and they get rough housing. My animals, I am very gentle with them. I pick them up carefully, you know, I kiss them, I hug them, I love them with my, you know, my answer to my being, and they feel it, they know it, they know they're loved, and animals are very sensitive, you know, and they're smart, too. I mean, my mother had fallen in the shower, and the way our house is, it's like a U-shape. And I was in one part of the U, and my mother was on the other part of the U, and I have a little cat named Bowie, and Bowie kept running to get me. My mother had fallen. He heard her crying out. I couldn't hear her on the other side, but he kept running in to get me. So finally we went, my daughter and I went out, and we found my mother. She had fallen in the shower, and Bowie saved her life. So no one can tell me cats don't know or animals don't know. They do. They're very special beings, very, very special. Like children, innocent. And the innocents are always the best.
Yeah, they're special. I mean, I will say this, though. I can't see myself as ever personally having a child, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, you never know. You can't always say never. Never is such a long word, you know, it just entitles you to such a lengthy period where it's never, it's finite, and I don't think anything can be finite, you know, never.
You know? Having kids?
You just never know, you know, it doesn't mean that you have them, you can acquire them, you could find someone and fall in love and end up being a stepdad and end up being a very good one.
being a stepdad, I'm okay with. I'm just talking about having kids of my own, having any natural children of my own.
Oh, I always said I'd never have children, but I ended up having 2. So, you know, you just don't know. You don't know. You may be surprised. People out there, I mean, it doesn't matter your age. I mean, you could father a child at 90, for God's sake. It doesn't matter.
Well, I guess what it is that I knew when I was 6 that I didn't want to have kids.
Well, you know, again, it's a preference, too. You know, if you feel that you can't make room for a child, because children need your time. Children, I mean, when I got divorced, my issue was working a psychic line. Why? One, I knew what I was doing. Two, I got to stay at home. So this way, I was with my children 24/7. So they weren't going to be latchkey kids. Their mom was there when they went to school. I stayed at school. I brought them home. I worked when they went to sleep. And I slept in between somewhere. I slept very little them growing up because it was important to make sure I was there with them. And I think that's what a lot of people make a mistake, that they have to go find somebody else when they get divorced. And I through my clients, I learned what not to do. By their mistakes, they taught me, and a lot of people taught me many things on how to be a good mom, one of which those kids come first before anything. And I think that makes a good mom. That makes a good, sensitive person. It makes you a better person, too, because you think of everyone else but yourself. And I think that's important.
Well, do you feel that the view on psychic ability is going to change over the next few years?
That's a hard question. You know, that's a hard question. I mean, psychic abilities have always been there. People with psychic, but if you notice the show, if you watch the shows on TV, they're becoming more and more aware of psychic abilities. I mean, they've got ghost whispers about ghosts. They got a new one about a vampire. They've got this one woman who's coming in who speaks to the dead like John Edwards. They had John Edwards on. They have, remember MTV came up with, they went to places to find ghosts. Now they have the ghost hunters. And more shows are coming more into the paranormal. So people aren't ready to be afraid of it anymore. They're coming out and saying we're interested, or it shows something more. No,
yeah,
that's what
I understand. I mean, I think it's a personal thing that you search for.
Yeah. I agree. I don't believe that when you're psychic, you have to talk everybody into the fact that, hey, it's real. You know what it's real. It's your thing. You don't have to talk anybody into it or out of it.
The problem with talking people into believing that it's real is once you talk someone into believing that it's real, you got to convince all his friends.
Yeah.
You know, it's like convince one skeptic, you got to convince 10 others. Because, I mean, like, if you were to convince someone that there's such a thing as an afterlife, well, then all of a sudden he's going to go to all his friends. You got to convince them, you know.
I understand. I'm not interested in doing that to anybody. When people come to me, it's because they need help or they want to understand what's going on in their life. I'm not trying to try to convince them that I'm psychic, because that's not even the issue. The issue is just helping them. And when someone combats me and someone goes, I don't believe in it, I go, you have a right not to believe in it. You have a right to say your religion says to you don't believe in it. I respect that. It's not my business to tell people you can't have that religion or you can't do that. It's not right. You be who you are. As long as you hurt no one, I'm all for it. When you start trying to discount people and you get nasty, then that's an issue. That's a big issue. But as long as people can respect one another, then you're in a good plane. You're in a good, safe plane.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We have about a minute and a half left to go. Is there anything that in your life that you've learned from being a psychic that sort of has still stayed with you?
I think it's always to keep my mouth shut. That's the main thing, is that I don't read anyone unless they give me the opportunity to do so. I will not give any kind of opinion unless a person asks for it. And I always hold back, because if someone wants help, they let me know. I always offer. I say, if you need me, I'm here. But never do I say anything until they give me the go-ahead. Otherwise, I mind my own business. Because if they don't want my head in it, then I'm not going to put it there. I just don't think it's right. You have to be able to be respectful of an individual and respect privacy. And that's what I've learned.
You have to lower the barriers. I mean,
true.
I understand that. Like when it comes to the psychic ability, I try to lower the barriers. I mean, I try to keep them low. I try to be logical, but I try to keep them low.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's been, what were you going to say?
No, I said, oh, yeah, that's true. I was just agreeing with you.
Well, it's been a lot of fun having you on my show.
I thank you very much, Johnny. It was a pleasure, my pleasure.
Okay. I hope we can do this again soon.
Oh, well, my pleasure. Thank you, and thank you again for having me.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Good night.